Blog Talk Radio.
Ah, dear, check 1, 2, 3. All of a big respect to my like, Bojo Bans and the old so much of the place that I've got.
Well, he's come back to South Side of the on the Snow Down. I, Bojo Bans, I'm Chip Alone. Yeah, I'm getting used to me. Duck Down. Lion rule the jungle, we don't fear. Burn like Gibraltar, I'll wear the beard. From the cheetah and the elephant, I won't get scared. If I should be angry, then I'll get afraid. I know anything me eat, I'll forget your regular beard. Use a free IG roots in first aid. Instinct and ability, A100. Physical agility, that's how me gonna put here. So try cut off the lion's mane. Wake a sleeping lion, then you stand in the bench. Send me no one you over and over again. Difficult to capture, now but then came. Born accustomed to the tropical rain. Roar! Take me young, fi grown, I will stop at the servant to protect the old. Lion light the fire, so the vibes can cold. Warriors behind the songs when the tongue man of bone. Teaching the world with power and sound. In high places, low places, I come around. Tell all the hypocrisy come down. Expose themselves over all around. I'm going to the band and this one is the sound. I come to teach the world about the original sound. Round and fear the world and then you come back around. It's up on the rhythm and I chant. Hey, lion a roar and people start to tremble. King said the lion is just something we're humble. Just hear the lion and feed him with food. Don't be out of order and don't you ever be rude. Lion jump far, lion a pimpa. Lion track and go anywhere he want. 14 corners all over the earth. Save so the lion a move. Lion rule the jungle without fear. Firm like Gibraltar, I'll be at the fear. From the gate, the elephant I won't act scared. If I should get angry, they all would be afraid. I know anything me eat, me I forget a regular bed. Use a B.I.G. roots in first aid. Instinct and ability, A1 grade. Physical agility, that's my nigga name. Who dare to try cut off the lion's mane. Wake up, sleeping lion, you shall be in the bed. Send me no one over and over again. Difficult to capture, now go take game. Born wild, accustomed to the tropical plain. Murder style, now we come my select to do play the part of the bass. I know what the man says, son.
Yeah, yeah, that's what them doing all the time. Lord,
what the man says?
That's what them doing all the time.
Y'all, I'm pulling. No matter that one for the band to live inside the house. What a DJ we can start.
Greetings. Welcome to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob, here at Blog Talk Radio. It's been a minute since I've done a show, so I want to go do a few short shows until I go ahead and get back into a full steam. I had some personal issues I'm still trying to straighten out. Tonight, in light of a whole lot of things that's been going wrong, you know, what happened with Trayvon Martin verdict, and still, you know, we got a whole bunch of problems here in Chicago. We still ain't on the right track. So I've invited some brothers to come and speak on what they're doing, try to go ahead and get us on the right track and educate a whole lot of our folks about what's happening out here. Because we are not going, still not getting the message, I feel. And I'm going to do a good show on this few weeks, get my thoughts and views about that Trayvon Martin verdict. Because I've been letting the dust settle. Because I know it's just going to go back to the status quo. Everybody can go back to doing what they've been doing. Ain't nobody really going to get involved and do shit. So it's enough of that. You got to recognize that, hey, look, if it happened to that brother, it can happen to you. And when it happens to you, you better be prepared. A lot of us are not prepared for what's going on. So I like what I hear with the brothers, with the National Solidarity Committee, which I hope I am a member. I want to go ahead and see if I got initiation coming up. You know, just I ain't into no ass beatings. Don't be hitting me with shit. I'll fuck you up about that old shit. So, real quick, with that being said, let me bring in these two brothers. Brother Fakan.
Yes, Brother Rob. Yahuru Hotep, big brother.
How you feeling? How you feeling? Go ahead and give us a little bit about yourself and who you are.
Brother Fakan Muhammad here, definitely here in Chicago. representative of the National Solidarity Committee, also a legacy holder of the original Black Panther Party. I consider myself a Pan-Africanist. I'm also a freedom, what one would consider a freedom fighter, freedom and liberation for all of our people, against the oppressor, against exploitation, as Brother Malcolm always stressed, against social degradation. One who's fighting for the cause, big brother, one who's trying to establish a body politic and not just, as you alluded to earlier, just huff and puff and complain, hold marches and protests. I'm about building that body politic, about putting a structural performance together, something sound that we can stand on as a foundation, and hence the establishment of the National Solidarity Committee.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Brother Jakari, you there?
Yes, sir. Oh, brother. Proud of the people.
Brother. Go on ahead, let them know about you, where you stand with the movement.
Well, basically, National Solidarity Committee, and really a part of a larger component of what we call the People's Army, which that includes, among other things, Black Panther Party and different street organization elements, those with like mine, the freedom fighters amongst them, and different organizations. Basically, what we really are here is, like the brother said, a lot of people can, you know, get emotional and get involved in emotionalism, but that's not going to win the war, you know, and make no doubt about it, it is a war, not one that we declared, you know, just to be clear. But we do have to recognize that we're in a fight. So really, that's really the level we at as far as building that proper PE to guide a real movement, not something that's just a bunch of people that I feel like doing something, so I want to do something and don't even know why we're doing what we're doing, wasting resources and wasting time, wasting energy. So that's where I'm at with it.
Thank you, brother. You know what? You know, something else you just said. I saw an article where they was talking about the U.S. is at war. They're at war with so many people that it's top secret. So, you know, I want y'all to keep that in mind as we go through this real quick. Brother Vakan, can you go ahead and tell me, you know, what's the mission statement of the National Solidarity Movement Committee?
Most definitely, big brother. Well, you know, we put together back in 2010, we formulated a charter. And that particular charter that we formulated was really in cohesiveness with the, at that particular time, the then president over the African Union, our brother general, our comrade who was transcended, Brother General Colonel Muammar Gaddafi. And we gave some type of foundational structure alongside of that particular charter, tweaked it a little bit because, of course, we're over here in America. And with that, it gives you the basic rams of what it is that we want. For example, our main thesis in this whole piece, as far as our purpose is concerned, is to promote the unity and solidify the alliance of African people. And we want to do that on the state, a national, and international level, because we understand that our problem is not just local. Our problem is not just one per se in the community, on the streets of which you belong to. It's not just statewide. It's not just happening in Illinois. It's happening in Philly. It's happening in New York. It's happening in L.A. It's happening in Cleveland. It's happening in Atlanta. But not only that, it's happening in Algiers. It's happening in Ghana. It's happening in Sierra Leone. It's happening everywhere that the masses of our people are on land at. And so with that, we understand that true freedom and liberation for our people as a whole is going to have to come through not just state, national, but also international. Also, we want to coordinate and intensify cooperation and efforts to achieve better life for African peoples, again, everywhere. We want to defend all efforts towards sovereignty, territorial integrity, and independence.
We want to eradicate all forms of education, which, as we state in our charter, which psychologically disturb African original people's progressive advancement, thus being human. So we want to build our own schools. In that reference, we want to build our own schools. We want to help extend those schools that's out there for our people and build them to the point that there's not just one of those schools, those freedom schools. We want them on every corner that our people could begin to leave what we have here in Chicago, the Chicago public school system, and many other public school systems throughout this country. We want to put forth those educational tools and toolage that we have, build our schools, and take our children up out of there and help expand what we have, but also to promote state, national, and international cooperation. And then,
thanks, brother. Let me get Brother Jakari real first, and I want you to come back and go ahead and answer this real fast. But there's so many groups that's out here and organizations. What will make the National Solidarity Committee a unique group, and how will it succeed with so many other groups that become stagnant or either failed? Okay, so can you address that?
Yeah, okay. Basically, it's real simple, actually. It's not rocket science. If you look across across the country, all the different organizations, whether they be revolutionary organizations, whether they be reformist organizations, whether they be a church, whether it be a local street organization, everybody is so parochial. What I mean by that is I'm over here, I got my thing. I'm over here, I got my thing. This one over there, they got their thing. Everybody's so separated. So what happens is, if you look at our enemy, our oppressor, even though the enemy has different, don't get it twisted, they have different separations amongst themselves. But one thing they agree on is when it comes to oppressing us, when it comes to oppressing the poor people of the planet, they agree on that. So they all get together. That's the reason why, you know, the same people who will sit here and talk a million years about how Islam is they're producing terrorism, but then they'll be best friends with Saudi Arabia because their interest is the same. They don't have nothing to do with religion. They about capitalism, oppression, colonialism, imperialism. That's all they about. So they don't care about, you know, who's who and what's what, you know. That's the reason why the Israel has no problem. The biggest Jews, so-called Jewish people, I should say, on the planet have no problem hooking up with Saudi Arabia. Okay, so this is what we have to understand. We have to realize that we, as the revolutionary movement, the struggle, as the movement as in general, as a people, it had to be something to come together where we are not trying to build an organization. The National Solidarity Committee is not an organization. Let me get that clear, first of all. We are not an organization. What we are a vessel. We are an umbrella where you have many different organizations that come together that realize that we as a people have to come together. We have to have our own departments, our own Department of Defense, our own Department of Agriculture, our own Department of Interior, and all these different things, Department of Justice. We have to have our own in order for us to be able to move forward. And the only way we can do that is through unity. So it's not an organization. That's what makes us different than other organizations. It is not an organization. It is about, okay, we're not stepping on no toes. You know, you have different levels of involvement. Everybody, they define their level of involvement. They define where they do, what they do, okay? So that's the difference between us. We are bringing together organizations so that all these resources, we got everything we need for our freedom. But the reason why it's hard for us to get our freedom is because everybody, all of these resources are so separated. So if we come together, bring them resources together, then we can get something done. That's what the National Solidarity Committee is about. That's what makes us different than all these other groups.
Right. And then if you take a look, Brother Rob, at even our platform and our program, you can't name an organization that's out there that incorporates other organizations within it so that the unified process can begin. When was the last time you read Nation of Islam's platform and program, and in that platform and program, you also see the Universal Negro Improvement Association. You also see the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement. You also see the African People's Revolutionary Army. You also see the Almighty Black Peace Stone Rangers. You also see the Growth and Development. You don't see that, because when we talk about unifying, as the brother stated, in order to build away from building an organization is going to do its own thing, like the brother said. They're going to put together their own platform. They're going to put together their own particular quote-unquote mission statement. What we're trying to do as an umbrella and really trying to bring a nation together, we have to understand that you have the Nation of Islam out here. You have the African People's Socialist Party out here. You have all these different organizations that we are a part of, Black Panther Party, all the different organizations that you can name. What you don't have is a solidified structural component. You see, and as the brother alluded to earlier, the American government has, they have their separations, but their separations also are joined together for a purpose. You have a DEA. You have a FBI. You have a CIA. You have local police departments. You have sheriff's departments. You have military. You have army. You have navy. Though they be separated by name, they all have the same distinct purpose in keeping us oppressed and keeping us exploited. So what did the NSC say? Well, let's not create nothing new. Let's just take what we all agree to with every organization. What do you mean? All of us not going to agree to everything the Nation of Islam is about. That's just not going to happen. We don't all agree to that. However, we all do agree to some aspect of the Nation of Islam. All of us not go agree to every aspect of the Black Panther Party. However, all of us do agree to some aspect of the Black Panther Party. This goes for every organization that we have out there. You're going to disagree with that organization. No matter what organization you name, you're going to disagree with it on some type of level. However, you can find the agreement in all of those organizations that could bring us and put us together on the same objective. And this is the intent and this is the purpose of the NSC, is that we take those agreements, put them together, and solidify one complete component and build that governing body politic that we agree on and that all the organizations could see themselves in. That's what makes us unique as a National Solidarity Committee, because we're literally taking what's already presented to us from other organizations and putting them together analytically and bringing it out to us as one platform.
And you know, let me say something.
Go ahead, brother.
Okay, brother. Let me say something, too, on that. And a lot of people, well, I'll say this. There are those out there who, when that would hear that and think that, like, we on some type of reformist, soft cookie-cutter shit. You know, like we trying to appease somebody. It ain't even about that. What it is we got real serious work out here to be done, okay? And ain't nobody doing it. You know, you have different organizations trying to do this and trying to do that, but without no communication, anybody knows. In military science 101, everybody will tell you that any force, any army, or whatever it is, if they're a force and they don't have communication, if their communication is cut off, it don't matter how big they are. It don't matter how big they are, and what they got, and none of that. When you cut their communication, that's it. You see what I'm saying? So that's where we fail. We have all of these resources, everybody doing this and doing that, and it's like everybody just so worried about, am I going to get the credit? So it ain't about appeasing nobody or nothing. The reason why we have the literature structured in such a way. What we doing is this, okay? We recognize that if it's something good that we can move forward with, we take that, what's good, and move forward to a higher stage of revolutionary development. And that's it. It's, you know, right. I can't put it no plainer than that.
Exactly.
Let me say something real quick. I was listening to something today, and I think it was last night, and this one guy was talking about. Some would say that you guys just go ahead and cram, you know, victimship. You know, you're victims. You know, is there such thing as us being, you know, we cram victims and going ahead and trying to get, you know, the sympathy, and also at the same time, if we're not victims, because I'm supportive of what you're doing, but if we're not victims, who is the enemy, and is the enemy clearly defined?
Well, you have idealism and you have realism. Idealistically, I could sit here and tell you I ain't no motherfucking victim. You see what I'm saying? I don't know if we could cuss on the radio, but hey.
Do your thing. Hold on. Do your thing here. Go ahead and say it. Tell the truth. I don't like nobody to hold back. If it smells like shit, at the texture of shit, it is shit. You know me already. We didn't talk.
Okay.
So
basically, like I said, you know, I could sit here and idealistically tell you that. But on the other end, you have those, the enemy is out there victimizing us. So whether we feel like a victim or not, it is very clear that they are victimizing us as a people. So it ain't about me as an individual. If I decided to stand up and fight and I don't personally feel like a victim, okay, because I'm a soldier. You see what I'm saying? I'm a guerrilla. But at the same time, you know, we have to recognize that if you have a enemy, an entity that is victimizing your people, then that's one thing. So, I mean, it ain't about crime victim. The movement, at least we're not sitting up running around here crying, talking about, oh, they victimizing us. We real clear. See, once you are clear on what's going on and you clear on the enemy, it ain't even about crying. It's about doing what we're doing, putting together the structure, what we need to do, putting the structure together and unifying so that we can do the work. It ain't even about crying. So, I mean, we don't even take this from an emotional level. But we do have, you know, we do recognize that many of our people might not be at that stage yet and they may still feel like in victim mode. You know, rather than fight mode. So we understand that. We clear, you know. And things go along and time goes along and the state continues to show their ass and naked brute force, they're pushing the people into a posture such as where we at. You know, with this Trayvon Martin situation, it may not have woke everybody up. Or should I say, it may not have permanently woke everybody up. But off of this situation, we don't even know the ramifications of who out there has come to enlightenment and they are on their path. Some we may not even know, okay? Some we might not know for good reason. But what I'm saying is this. I'm a product of an instantaneous situation, something that happened that, you know, when Latasha Harlins got killed off of a bottle of orange juice. Okay, I'm a product of that, and that was 1989, 90 or something, and here it is, 2013, and I'm still going. So, I mean, and I'm not stopping. So, I mean, we have to understand that off of every year, the numbers may not be the same as they were in the 60s, you know, but every second, every minute, every hour, every day, week, however it is, I don't even know what it is, but we do know that people are coming to enlightenment. And I don't mean just some esoteric, you know, making YouTube video shit. I'm talking about people who really, that's going to get down with the get down and apply the theory into practice. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, so, I mean, it's growing.
And that's the key part. That's the key piece right there, is the theoretical piece being applied into practice. Because, let's face it, this Trayvon Martin piece, this is nothing new. This is nothing new at all. We've seen this many times before. The only thing that's new is the name. It's a different brother. That's it. However, it's still a brother. It's still a same situation. It's still the same scenario. So it's nothing new. However, it's what we consider what we call seizing the time. But, again, as the brother mentioned, so one of the problems is, when do we seize the time? Because that's in the atmosphere right now. It's to seize the time. But do we go backwards? Do we say, let's go to another march? Let's hold another protest? Let's hold another march? Let's get mad and pissed off? We're going to do another campaign. How many campaigns are we going to do, which to us, who consider ourselves revolutionaries, these particular campaigns, yes, they could be good on some levels, but at the same time, most of your campaigns, most of your protests, most of your marches is an excuse to negate responsibility on what you need to do for your people in performing the structural performance that is going to get us out of this condition.
And
Where's our defensive forces at in the community? Where, if we know, if we talk about police terrorism, if we talk about what happens in the communities, and the first thing we say is they need to be more cops on the street. These are what some of our people would say. They need to have more cops on the street. No, that's an excuse to take responsibility off of you. Why not say we need to have more brothers in the street? We need to organize the brothers and get the brothers on an agenda that they can build their own defensive force. Why don't we galvanize a group of people that hold organizations together that got these large numbers of people and hold them accountable to come up with some type of strategic platform like we did with the when they wanted to send the National Guards here to Chicago. They had the brother, LaShawn Ford, and many others who felt as though that might be a good thing to do, have the National Guards come in. Now, those of us that's conscious, those of us that's wise to this particular point of the National Guard coming in, we said, no, give us a chance. Let us sit down with other organizations who got these numbers, and let us come together, try to come together and make some type of platform, some type of agenda that we can have our own defensive force out here on the streets. However, that's responsibility, Brother Rob. That's obligation. So, again, as the old saying goes, nothing is new under the sun. Of course not. Nothing's new under the sun. However, what is new is the strategic and tactical analysis by way of which you're going to move forward to put them into place. This is what we're missing. However, this is what the National Solidarity Committee and People's Army is here to do, is to reevaluate everything to a scientific analysis, but bring that theory into practical terms, manifest it, so we can produce our own. Now is the time when we say we want to seize the time. We don't want to seize the time on another march. We don't want to seize the time on another protest. We don't want to seize the time on another campaign. What we want to seize the time on is for us to have the responsibility, for us to be obligated and disciplined enough to produce what we know we should be producing as a people, and let those of us who are sincere put that out into the public with our people, and those of us we know who are not sincere, we start exposing them, expose them for who they are, and sit them down and let the real liberators take over.
Hold on, brothers. Look, this show I did like real quick, because, you know, I ain't need no brothers. I ain't did a show in a minute. So I'm going to let everybody know, go ahead and try to call in, because we're going to go another 30 minutes. And the calling number is 347-215-8465. Let me play a track, and we're going to come right back. You guys go ahead, and I want you to get a little bit more heated in the second half.
Hey, love. I see my mama by the ready cousin on the Sunday. It was the best to be with these boys from the rain, Lord. Oh, I see it every day, right before my eyes. Another road boy gets saved from another gunplay. Oh. And it's the teaching that he provides, the slaying of so much life. But still, stiff-necked fools wanna go their way. There is some rude boys hanging in the alley, and if you pass them, me say you're lucky. It's a trigger happy one of proven skills, they give him joy. Gangsters are living high, like they wanna touch the sky. They don't care if another man leave or another man die. Gangster life, don't bother living. Gangster life, don't bother living. like a sister close. I know if you want to see me close.
Talk to somebody
in London, you know, via social media. I can have access to thousands of people if I'm on Facebook just off of one share. And so these are the type of things that we have to take course on. We have to utilize these particular aspects, whether it's dealing with the radio, whether it's dealing with TV, whether it's dealing with social media, any aspect, any avenue that we consider as a phenomenon, because this is a phenomenon. It's taking everybody. I mean, how many times you look next to you, next to you and see somebody either on Facebook or tweeting or, you know, sending out text messages? You know, so we have to utilize those realms. But also understand the oppressor utilizes this all the time. They utilize it all the time.
You know, Kenny,
we have to understand that.
Can the National Solidarity Committee bring that thunder that's necessary to go ahead and wake you up? I mean, it's enough stuff in your face to go ahead and say, okay, well, we got you. You know, it should be fairly simple. But still, people still don't get the message. Like I said, I'm seeing the dust settle and everything. People barely going here missing things. You know, them marches and stuff. Like I said, in a minute, give me a little bit more time because I'm waiting for a couple other things to happen. I'm going to go ahead and put together something to show you just how stupid people are and just how more involved in fantasy and materialism and bullshit is more important than going ahead and dealing with that Trayvon Martin piece.
Right. Well, let me say this. I want my brother to expand on this, too, because I mentioned to him, you know, the Black Panther Party, the last, and the brother could expand on this as well, the last point that we had in the Black Panther Party in the 10-point platform program, last point dealt with a quote from the United States government itself, because we all agreed to this. We all agreed that even though the government says what it says, it does not adhere to what it says. And part of that quote says that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute a new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to effect their safety and happiness. Now, listen to what they said. That whenever any form of government, they didn't just say whenever the form of government or whenever a particular form of government, they said whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is our right to alter, abolish it, and institute a new government. Now, here's where we at, Brother Rob. If you was to survey our people today, in light of what happened with this Trayvon Martin piece, I would say over 90% of our people is tired of protests, is tired of marches, is tired of getting up and just complaining. So one thing we have not done yet is begin the preparation to form our own government. Now, you might have organizations that say that. You might have the Moors who sit back and say, oh, man, we know we stand on government. You know, we got a governing body. That's cool. That's the Moors. You see what I'm saying? That's their particular organization. I'm talking as a whole. Not one time have we came together to sit and build on and even lay the blueprint on our own governing body. We haven't done that yet. This is where we come in on this matter. And I'd like for the brother to expand on that, on why we
let me throw this in there. You don't think that the Hebrew Israelites got something similar to that, or the Nuwabians
That's what I'm saying. I said the Moors, for that specific reason, because the Moors have that, the Hebrews, they could have that, Hebrew Israelites, but again, you're talking about a particular group of people who have their particular ideological base or their particular theological base. Their base does not correspond with the masses of our people. And so the question becomes, how do you galvanize a Hebrew Israelite and a Moor and a Nation of Islam member, you know, all these different quote-unquote spiritual or religious aspects who have different ways of building law? How do you galvanize them on a cohesive foundation that can be agreed upon? This is what we're talking about. So we're not negating anybody's organization on what they have, because they might have it in their organization. But when it comes to the masses as a whole, that we can look at as a whole, we don't have that.
And see, the model for it, even though everything wasn't perfect, and you had a lot of saboteurs, including J. Edgar Hoover being one. This was in his early days. The model for this was the UNIA. You know,
exactly.
This was the UNIA was trying to unify black people as a whole. It wasn't about, okay, you're a Christian, you're a Muslim, you this, you that. Okay, it was about black people as a whole. All right. And it had a lot of potential in that, and we have to really look at how that was done, what was done, the mistakes that were made. It was mistakes made, but a lot of the what happened to it is external forces, saboteurs, informers, agent provocateurs, agent propagandists like W.E.B. Du Bois. You know, so you had a lot of different elements, and we have to look out for those today, which we have them today. You know, you still have the Uncle Tom Negro preachers that keep coming out every time the people just about ready to had enough of this and just about ready to kick it off. You get the Uncle Tom Negro preacher that's talking about some, no, we just got to do it God's way. We got to, or we have to respect the law and all this other type of shit. You know, so, I mean, you know, it's like, we have to expose all of these elements, but what the brother was saying earlier, I want to kind of touch on that, as far as, you know, black people going back to sleep, as far as after this Trayvon Martin. I don't think that what it is that black people are going back to sleep. I think what it is that, you know, after this thing happened, when it went down, the people who got the press, because it was more than just them doing something. But the ones who get the press that's out there as far as mainstream media, you know, they were talking this old same old protest after protest, march after march, and the masses are tired of it. So I think what it is the reason why it may appear as if people going back to sleep, it's not so much that they're going back to sleep, it's just that they're looking for the right outlet for them
to
be able to actually take some real action. That's what they're looking for. And that's what it's our job as a revolutionary to get out there enough, to get out there more into these different pockets and areas that we're not touching right now, that we don't seem to be getting to. We need to get to there and show them that outlet, show them that other outlet. So, you know, and man, you'd be surprised, man. There's people out here, trust me. It ain't people, everybody not just going back to sleep on this one. You know, I don't know if it's something, I don't want to get all spooky on you and go into the metaphysical stuff and all of that, you know, into the times we in and all of that, you know. But, I mean, you can put it in even scientific, simple terms. You know, it's a lot of stress. It's a lot of stress on the masses. It's a lot of stress on this planet. It's a lot of stress in the world. And stress is like a rubber band. And it's only so far you can stretch that rubber band before it pops, before it snaps. And I think that's where we come into. We right there where it's a lot of stress being put on this rubber band and it's about ready to pop. So, I mean, you know, if you look at worldwide what's going on, the world is posturing themselves because the world is watching us right now, and the world has been waiting for us. You know, you look at this trip that Rodman took to North Korea. They they would lie to you and tell you that they, oh, yeah, he wanted to see Rodman because he's a Bulls fan. That's bullshit, okay? What it is the world is making their move. If you look at